Today is the first day of April. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It's good to be here with you today around the global campfire, reading in Deuteronomy 18 through 20.
The Levitical priests, in fact, the whole tribe of Levi, will receive no land or property of their own like the rest of the Israelites. They will eat what has been sacrificed to the Lord. These sacrifices will be what they receive. So the Levites will have no land of their own like the other Israelites. The Lord will be their inheritance as he promised them. This is what the people owe the priests whenever they sacrifice an ox, a sheep, or a goat: the shoulder, jaws, and stomach. Also give them the first produce harvested: grain, new wine, olive oil, and the first wool you shear from your sheep. Out of all your tribes, the Lord your God has chosen the Levites and their descendants to do the work of serving in the name of the Lord forever. A Levite from any of your cities in Israel may come from where he has been living to the place the Lord will choose. He may come as often as he wants and may serve in the name of the Lord his God like all the other Levites who do their work in the Lord's presence. If he does, he'll get the same amount of food as they do, in addition to what he gets from selling his family's goods. When you come to the land that the Lord your God is giving you, never learn the disgusting practices of those nations. You must never sacrifice your sons or daughters by burning them alive, practice black magic, be a fortune teller, witch, or sorcerer, cast spells, ask ghosts or spirits for help, or consult the dead. Whoever does these things is disgusting to the Lord. The Lord your God is forcing these nations out of your way because of their disgusting practices. You must have integrity in dealing with the Lord your God. These nations you are forcing out listen to fortune tellers and to those who practice black magic. But the Lord your God won't let you do anything like that. The Lord your God will send you a prophet, an Israelite like me. You must listen to him. This is what you ask the Lord your God to give you on the day of the assembly at Mount Horeb. You said, "We never want to hear the voice of the Lord our God or see this raging fire again. If we do, we'll die." The Lord told me, "What they've said is good, so I will send them a prophet, an Israelite like you. I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. Whoever refuses to listen to the words that prophet speaks in my name will answer to me. But any prophet who dares to say something in my name that I didn't command him to say, or who speaks in the name of other gods, must die." You may be wondering, how can we recognize that the Lord didn't speak this message? If a prophet speaks in the Lord's name, and what he says doesn't happen or come true, then it didn't come from the Lord. That prophet has spoken on his own authority. Never be afraid of him. The Lord your God will destroy all the nations that are living in the land that he's giving you. He will force them out and live in their cities and houses. When all this is done, set aside 3 cities in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Provide a route to each of these cities and divide the land that the Lord your God is giving you into 3 regions. Whoever kills someone may run to one of these cities. A person who unintentionally kills someone he never hated in the past may run to one of these cities to save his life. Suppose 2 people go into the woods to cut wood. As one of them swings the axe to cut down a tree, the head flies off the handle, hits, and kills the other person. The one who accidentally killed the other person may run to one of these cities and save his life. Otherwise, in a rage, the relative who has the authority to avenge the death will pursue him. If the place is too far away, the relative may catch up with him and take his life, even though he didn't deserve the death penalty, because in the past he never hated the person he killed. This is why I'm commanding you to set aside 3 cities for yourselves. The Lord your God may expand your country's borders, as he promised your ancestors with an oath. He may give you the whole land he promised to give them. He may do this because you faithfully obey all these commands I am now giving you, to love the Lord your God and follow his directions as long as you live. If this happens, you may add 3 more cities of refuge to these 3. That way, innocent people won't be killed in the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you won't be guilty of murder. Suppose someone hates another person, waits an ambush for him, attacks him, takes his life, and runs to one of these cities. If someone does this, the leaders of your city must send for that person. They must take him from that city and hand him over to the relative who has the authority to avenge the death. He must die. They must have no pity on him. The guilt of murdering an innocent person must be removed from Israel. Then things will go well for Israel. Never move your neighbor's original boundary marker on any property in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. One witness is never enough to convict someone of a crime, offense, or sin he may have committed. Cases must be settled based on the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses. This is what you must do whenever a witness takes the stand to accuse a person falsely of a crime. The 2 people involved must stand in the Lord's presence, in front of the priests and judges who are serving at that time. The judges must make a thorough investigation. If it is found that the witness lied when he testified against the other Israelite, then do to him what he planned to do to the other person. You must get rid of this evil. When the rest of the people hear about this, they will be afraid. Never again will such an evil thing be done among you. Have no pity on him. Take a life for a life, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand, and a foot for a foot. When you go to war against your enemies, you may see horses, chariots, and armies larger than yours. Don't be afraid of them, because the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt will be with you. Before the battle starts, a priest must come to speak to the troops. He should tell them, "Listen, Israel. Today you're going into battle against your enemies. Don't lose your courage. Don't be afraid or alarmed or tremble because of them. The Lord your God is going with you. He will fight for you against your enemies and give you victory." The officers should tell the troops, "If you have built a new house but not dedicated it, you may go home. Otherwise, you might die in battle and someone else will dedicate it. If you have planted a vineyard and not enjoyed the grapes, you may go home. Otherwise, you might die in battle, and someone else will enjoy the grapes. If you are engaged to a woman but have not married her, you may go home. Otherwise, you might die in battle, and someone else will marry her." The officers should also tell the troops, "If you are afraid or have lost your courage, you may go home. Then you won't ruin the morale of the other Israelites." When the officers finish speaking to the troops, they should appoint commanders to lead them. When you approach a city to attack it, offer its people a peaceful way to surrender. If they accept it and open their gates to you, then all the people there will be made to do forced labor and serve you. If they won't accept your offer of peace but declare war on you, set up a blockade around the city. When the Lord your God hands the city over to you, kill every man in that city with your swords. But take the women and children, the cattle, and everything else in the city, including all its goods, as your loot. You may enjoy your enemy's goods that the Lord your God has given you. This is what you must do to all the cities that are far away, which don't belong to the nations nearby. However, you must not spare anyone's life in the cities of these nations that the Lord your God is giving you as your property. You must claim the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites for the Lord, and completely destroy them as the Lord your God has commanded you. Otherwise, they will teach you to do all the disgusting things they do for their gods, and you will sin against the Lord your God. This is what you must do whenever you blockade a city for a long time in order to capture it in war. Don't harm any of its fruit trees with an axe. You can eat the fruit. Never cut those trees down, because the trees of the field are not people you have come to blockade. You may destroy trees that you know are not fruit trees. You may cut them down and use them in your blockade until you capture the city.
Luke, chapter 9, verses 28 through 50. About 8 days after he had said this, Jesus took Peter, John, and James with him and went up a mountain to pray. While Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, both Moses and Elijah were talking with him. They appeared in heavenly glory and were discussing Jesus' approaching death and what he was about to fulfill in Jerusalem. Peter and the men with him were sleeping soundly. When they woke up, they saw Jesus' glory and the two men standing with him. As Moses and Elijah were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Teacher, it's good that we're here. Let's put up 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter didn't know what he was saying. While he was saying this, a cloud overshadowed them. They were frightened as they went into the cloud. A voice came out of the cloud and said, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, they saw that Jesus was alone. The disciples said nothing, and for some time they told no one about what they had seen. The next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a large crowd met Jesus. A man in the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He's my only child. Whenever a spirit takes control of him, he shrieks, goes into convulsions, and foams at the mouth. After a struggle, the spirit goes away, leaving the child worn out. I begged your disciples to force the spirit out of him, but they couldn't do it." Jesus answered, "You unbelieving and corrupt generation, how long must I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming to Jesus, the demon knocked the boy to the ground and threw him into convulsions. Jesus ordered the evil spirit to leave. He cured the boy and gave him back to his father. Everyone was amazed to see God's wonderful power. Everyone was amazed at all the things that Jesus was doing. So he said to his disciples, "Listen carefully to what I say. The Son of Man will be betrayed and handed over to people." They didn't know what he meant. The meaning was hidden from them so that they didn't understand it. Besides, they were afraid to ask him about what he had said. A discussion started among them about who would be the greatest. Jesus knew what they were thinking. So he took a little child and had him stand beside him. Then he said to them, "Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. The one who is least among all of you is the one who is greatest." John replied, "Master, we saw someone forcing demons out of a person by using the power and authority of your name. We tried to stop him because he was not one of us." Jesus said to him, "Don't stop him. Whoever isn't against you is for you."
Psalm 73, Book 3, A Psalm of Asaph. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, they have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They're not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts come iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, "How would God know? Does the Most High know anything?" This is what the wicked are like, always free of care. They go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply. Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed? completely swept away by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. Proverbs 12:10. The righteous care for the needs of their animals, but the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel.
Okay, so it's April 1st. It's a brand new month. The seasons are beginning to change. And as Ezekiel read in the Psalms today, we're led into a posture of heart. We're led again by the scriptures to consider how we're looking at things. Are our eyes open? Are we seeing them as they really are? Asaph writes this psalm, and it's a heart cry, pouring out his heart in ways that we have probably all felt and faced and even spoken, because he's saying things like, why is it that proud and wicked people get to have an easy life? Why do they get to be healthy and prosper? And I'm here trying like my best to be good, to be true, to be devout. And all I get is struggle. Is there any reason? Am I trying to be good for no reason? Does any of this matter? Because this makes me so bitter inside. So that's pretty honest. I have to raise my hand and be in that crowd and say I'm guilty of all of that. So it's pretty straightforward and stark. But we've all probably shared some of these sentiments and come to the same kind of conclusions. What the heck is going on? What am I doing here? So the answer, at least in this psalm, is orientation. It's actually where the focus is. So when we're focusing on other people and comparing ourselves to how well they are doing, we're literally comparing ourselves to someone else's mask. Because, my gosh, if you're going to compare yourself to how other people are doing, for example, on social media, you're not even comparing yourself to a real person. You're comparing yourself to a persona that is not the whole story, and it's definitely not the truth. As we watch the arc of the psalm, we realize that it's a change in focus that actually changes the inside story that Asaph is telling himself. When Asaph comes before the Lord, honestly, into his presence, he realizes that complaining about everybody else's life and how everybody else is doing is ignorant. It's foolish. He says, I must have been like an animal to you. Senseless. Can we pause there for a second? Does that ring true? Does that sound familiar? We're focused on everything else. How everybody else is doing so much better. They're doing such a better job of curating their life for everyone. And we feel like we're failing. We got all these struggles that other people don't have, and we're bitter and we're crying out and everybody's doing better and then it's the spouse, then it's the kids, then these things, and we're spiraling, completely spiraling, and we're dangerous. Like, we're hurting people everywhere around us because we're spiraling. Isn't Asaph describing it correctly? Like, I'm acting like a senseless animal. Asaph realized that he needed to start from within, not from without. He didn't need to look around and compare everybody else's circumstances. he found an identity in knowing God. Like, knowing God. And once that heart shift took place, that he belonged to God, that's where hope comes, being God's child. And he said, I am always with you. You will hold on to my right hand. Oh, that's a pretty picture, isn't it? Like a parent and a child walking hand in hand. With your advice, you guide me. And in the end, you will take me to glory. As long as I have you, I don't need anyone else in heaven or on earth. My body and mind may waste away, but God remains the foundation of my life and my inheritance forever. Feel like your body's wasting away? Feel like your mind is wasting away? Asaph felt like that. And according to Asaph, his orientation, his realization, is that God is the foundation of his life. And after his life, he will inherit God. So we are invited into a collaboration with God. It begins at our creation. It's called life. It's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do this with God, to know it. We're his child. We're supposed to do this with God. When we lose sight that is our orientation, that's what we're doing here. Like, we're running around moving things around on the earth, but what we're doing here is getting to know God. Not trying to move things around faster than anybody else can. And so when we look around at people who seem to be able to move things around faster than we are and have an easier path than we do, we get bitter, we start comparing, we lose the story. We are a child of God. We're where we're supposed to be. None of this is in comparison to anybody else. Identity can't be found that way. Our identity is found in God as his child in relationship. So let's calibrate like Asaph did. Nothing circumstantially changes. It's how we see it. And that's what Jesus keeps telling us. Open your eyes and see. And so let's recalibrate like Asaph did. This isn't about how well we're doing compared to anybody else. This is about how we are being with God. And so, Father, we invite you into that. That is an orientation shift that is difficult because it pulls us out of the system of the world that keeps pushing us in so many directions that we can't stop. But when we step out of the flow, then we think we're getting left behind. And again, that's this comparison thing. When we actually step out of the flow of all that, stop the madness and find your presence, we find that all of the things that we're chasing are meaningless, nothingness. We've found what we're looking for. Peace, serenity. And then we have to rebuild so many things because everything in our lives is oriented to compete and to compare. And I have to completely rethink that. And that is a change of life. Show us, God. It's all here for us. Peace is here for us. Wholeness and healing are here for us. Restoration is here for us. We're just not going to get there in our own strength. And we're not going to get there by thinking that we're doing better than somebody else. Come, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That's home base. It's the website. It's where you find out what's going on around here. And so check it out. Check out the Daily Audio Bible app. If you don't have that yet, just go to the app store that works with your device and search for Daily Audio Bible and download the app. And that is the best way to move through and kind of keep track of where you're going. And so check that out. Check out the community section. there are links there that you can use to connect to the different social media channels that we're participating in. But that is also the home of where the prayer wall is, and that is ours. We never have to be alone. We can reach out. We can ask for prayer. We can share our stories with our brothers and sisters who are moving through the scriptures with us. We can pray for each other. We can touch each other, let each other know, like, you're not alone. Like, I'm here. I am one of your brothers and sisters who sit with you around this campfire. I am here. You are not alone. That is the prayer wall, and that is in the community section. So check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey, family. It's Libby from Queensland. Just had to pull over. I was driving and listening to 27th of March. And in the last few weeks, there have been so many people who are disheartened and who are not wanting to live and who, you know, they're so depressed and sad that this life just is not giving them, you know, any happiness. And I just want to say to you that, you know, for many years I listened to those sad voices as well, listened to the voices that told me I wasn't good enough, the voices that told me that God couldn't possibly love me. I would never be good enough. But you know what? I won't ever be good enough, because that's not how this works. This works by pressing into Him and by being honest with yourself and with God about how it is you're feeling. And when you take that to Him, He turns it around and He turns it into joy. I just want to implore you all to seek His face and just to know that He would never tell you that He doesn't love you. He would never tell you to give up. He would never tell you that you're not good enough. He loves you. He says that He would not want one of us to perish, but all to have everlasting life. And the Bible's message is so clear. Love is the most important thing in this life. So don't give up on the love. And when you hear those negative voices, know that it is a lie. You're listening to lies. You need to turn it around and say, Satan, get behind me. That is not true. And once you start doing that, you will turn your sorrow into joy. I love you all. Thank you for being part of this community.
I just want to confess, Trajan, I'm a prayer addict too. The only prescription is to just to keep praying and seeking the Lord, and He will tell you how He wants you to proceed. I just want to tell you, Trajan, that you really made me laugh this morning when I was listening to my prayers, community prayers. You have a gift. You put that together, and you're going to be ministering to people, and you're going to be speaking. So just keep seeking Him and see what direction He has you going. God is so good. And I'm just so delighted every time I hear you speak, Trajan. And I just thank the Lord for you.
Trajan, this is Soaring on Eagle Swings from Canada, your DAB mama. And I heard you talking about your friend being murdered and what it has done to you. And now you're questioning what you're doing. But let me tell you, This is a fallen world that we live in, and things are always going to happen. 16 years ago, I went to church, had a wonderful day, came home, and was called to say my brother was in a car accident and lost his life. It was very painful. And so I know that you're going through a lot of pain right now. But when these things come, we hold on stronger to the hand of God, because the enemy wants us to fall backwards and be back where we were. But look at the joy you had recently when your son and your daughter entered the faith. Now the enemy doesn't want you to have joy. And these things happen. But our God is a merciful God. He loves you so much. Abba, Father, you see Trishon. You know what he's going through. I hear the despondency in his voice. But you have got him where he is for a purpose. I pray that you would warm his heart with your love. Point him back on that straight and narrow way. Remind him that no matter what happens in life, you are always with him. There's no place that he can go, no pain that he can feel that you aren't aware of. Strengthen him so that he would move forward, praying for others, praying for his family, and being the example that he is being all over the world.
Hi, my name is Paisley, and I want to say a prayer for anyone going through a hard time. Lord Jesus, I ask you to help this person right now. I don't know exactly what they're going through, Lord. I don't know who they are, who I'm talking to right now, Lord. But I pray that you break the chains the enemy has laid on them. Have them to have peace, wisdom, and to honor you, Lord. Pray for anyone that is going through addiction, suicidal thoughts. Remember, for suicidal thoughts, God has a plan set out for all your life. He does not want you to end it, Lord. It will make him very upset, and not upset, but it will make him very sad if you do that, because he has this your life planned out for you. He will tell you when it's time for you to go to heaven, and it's not some of y'all's time yet. And I just pray that they get wisdom and they find the encouragement to do things. Amen.